chapters, leaving me with the difficult portion of the book. So forgive me if I say anything that you may disagree with. It is Kevin's fault. I thank God for you, and I think of you often. We have been praying for you all, for New City, calling some specific names. I can name you today, but we have been naming you in our prayers. I bring you the warm greetings from my wife Rose and our kids. You know, we have five kids now, Benita, Lily, and the three that we adopted back home. They want me to say hello, Claude, Grace, and Afi. I bring you also the greetings from the body of Christ in Togo and some other places in West Africa. We have been blessed by God and through you this year again. The ministry is growing. The gospel is preached. And lives are saved and transformed. Rose and our school teachers are doing a great job. The kids of the schools are bringing joy to our heart, but also some struggles in our everyday life, which is a great humbling experience to see how to make it every day with these kids, 135 plus kids in the school. With the school ministry, we have been able to reach families with the gospel and even worked out reconciliation in couples' lives. Single moms are touched by the love of God through the school. Most of the time, women are the ones bringing the kids to school, isn't it? Women are leading the church, it looks like. In 5 years, our institute trained in two-year programs 40 missionaries. Some are already sent to their mission field. Sister Teresa is doing great. And she asked me to thank you and to tell you how blessed she and the kids are. Africa Mission with Nations ministry is impacting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of lives. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now back to the text. What is going on here? I can see the culture. I can see remarriage arrangement. Maybe a possibility of polygamy in Boaz's life. Family issues. And finally, love and grace. Can we unpack all of it today? I don't think so. But we can at least get to the main point of the text. God loves, can reach everyone despite their race, status, and struggles. God loves, can reach you where you are. How in the world Boaz, this rich man from Bethlehem, can be so prompt to open his heart to Ruth, a poor Moabite woman, a widow? How can he do that? Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, is burdened by the well-being of Ruth. This is how it started. She's so burdened by the life of her daughter-in-law. She needs more than food, more than a shelter, more than friends. She needs a husband. This means stability and security in many places. When you have a husband, a wife, it means stability and security. This mother-in-law is somehow different in many ways with some of the mother-in-laws we see and observe today. She is so different. She wants the good being of her daughter-in-law. It is well known in my context that many divorces are caused by the parent of the man, in particular, the mother-in-law. I am involved back home in marital reconciliation with this ministry called Foyer Silo Rock, Family on the Rock. And it has been a troubling experience with mother-in-laws, things in the business of their sons. As I'm talking, a minister, a friend of mine, marriage is torn apart because of the presence of the mother-in-law in the house. I love my mom. She's the best mom ever. I love her. But I made it clear that Rose is my wife. Rose is my wife. As a matter of fact, she knows she cannot come to my house and stay more than 2-3 months. No. Days here, good. You took it to the extreme. Unless she's sick and she needs care, she needs help, she can stay in the house. But 2 months, no, no, mama, you go to your husband. I remember, and for some of you, a few years ago, here in St. Louis, you remember that? A guy from Togo, I don't want to name the guy's name. He was living with his mom, his wife, and for a few months, they couldn't make it. They sent out the mom out. She was out. You remember that? It was a pretty difficult situation that we face here in the church. She stayed with us for a few months. But the reality is clear. Between her and the daughter-in-law, things were not working out. Naomi is a special mother-in-law. And I want to ask, maybe pray for our moms who are in the house, in the room. If you are a mom and you have a daughter or a son who is in marriage situation, I want to pray for your heart. I want to pray that God will give you the sensibility of Naomi. Naomi is a special mother-in-law. She's more concerned about Ruth's happiness than her own happiness. You see that in the text? She's more concerned about her daughter-in-law. Remember, she lost her husband. She lost her 2 sons. She lost everything. She was struggling to give a meaning to her existence. She was wrestling with God in her heart. She said, "Do not call me Naomi, but call me Mara, because for her the Almighty has brought calamity upon her. She came back from Moab empty-handed. And yet, she did not stop, did not stop her from doing good. Her context did not stop her from doing good. To seek the kingdom of God, she was after God's care for Ruth. Where do we go? Where do you go when trouble comes on your way? How do you live your life when everything falls apart? How do you get to the point of stability, of self-control, when your life is in the midst of tension? How do you live that out? Does it come naturally? Does it come natural to do good when you face struggles? When you have issues? When you have problems? When you lost somebody? When you lost your job? When you go through some divorce situation? Do you do good? Is it coming naturally? For me, I don't think so. He got to take the power of the Holy Spirit. He got to take the presence of God in my life to do good. And I want to tell you today, I want to tell you this morning, when you struggle, you got to lay your life down and say, Lord, I need you. I need the power of the Spirit to do good. If not, you are going to mess up again and again. He takes the power of the Spirit to do good in my life when I face challenges. You know what? Naomi, by doing good, she didn't know she was an instrument of God for a long-term vision to be part of the unfolding story of Jesus Christ, the Savior. She didn't know that. She was an instrument right there in the hand of God for this great vision. Don't despise your struggles times. When things are not going well, don't despise it. God can use it. And He is using it. He will use it for the sake of His name. Naomi is struggling, but she said, I'm going to do good to this daughter-in-law. How is she going to solve the problem? How is she going to do that? How is she going to help Ruth live a better life? She got it. Simple, easy. She's going to use their culture. Wow. She's going to use the culture. Hey, wait a minute. We are Presbyterians. Reform with good sound doctrine. You know, some cultures are so crazy. How are you going to use that? Yeah. This is one of the craziest culture in the world. How can you do that, Naomi? She said, it's easy. We are going to use our cultural, listen, our cultural marital redemption. Cultural marital redemption. Ruth, listen, Boaz is your redeemer because he is your husband's brother. Since your husband is no more alive, Boaz has the right to redeem you and take you as a wife. What? Yes. Do you hear that? Ruth, listen. Boaz is your redeemer because he is your husband's brother who died. Since your husband is no more alive, Boaz has the right to redeem you and take you as wife. Wait a minute. What is going on here? To take a widow who is the wife of my brother who is no more alive? You know, sometimes when you hear some cultural stuff, you just shake your head. You're like, no, it doesn't make sense. It's crazy. For those who are involved in missions stuff, when you travel across the globe and you go somewhere and you see something that doesn't look good, doesn't look not right, it's right, okay, it's not good. Doesn't look right, doesn't look right. Don't jump in a very quick conclusion because you are going to mess up. Things are going on beyond your narrow-minded focus. This is more about the memory of the dead than anything else in this culture. It is not about sex. It is about making sure that any male name should not be completely erased in the society. And you know this, the Bible, when you read the Bible, is more about men's, you know. They will also name men's names. And to have somebody's name cut off from the genealogy, in French you say genealogy, I don't know how, you got it, genealogy. Genealogy, to get somebody's name out from the genealogy is like breaking the chain. And they don't want to do that. They don't want to do that. In such culture, it was not a problem for Naomi to think and work out a plan for Boaz to marry Ruth. It was not a problem for this old man to take a young widow like Ruth for wife. He must be in his 80s, probably. And Ruth, 40, maybe. He called her in the book many times, my daughter. My daughter. This is close to my culture. Amen. When you come to Africa, I will tell you, this is my sister. This is my sister. And then you look at me and say, Macklin, is it your sister's sister? I'm like, yeah, she's my sister. Boaz is calling this woman my daughter. Oh, no. Is that okay today for an old man to marry a young girl? 80 year old, to go and marry somebody who is 25? Boaz may do that. Boaz and his people may do that. But I'm suggesting no, no, no. We live in a complete different world today. And our cultures are becoming more connected to one another. And things need to be looked with today's context. Boaz lived in his days, and that was okay. It even looks like he had more than one wife. I said, it looks like. The book of Ruth did not say it. But it wouldn't be a surprise. It wouldn't be surprising to admit that he has more than one wife. Ruth probably was not his first wife. Why? He is an old man and rich. Come on, he has money. He's maybe 80. He should have another wife. Like David, Jacob, Solomon. I say maybe he was a polygamist. Are you there with me? Let me tell you. My father has more than one wife. So I grew up with two moms at least in the house, living at the same time with my dad. For those who know Papayam, Mana, Fortuné, We have different moms. We had and still have good days in the family and very, very, very bad days. Like in every household. Sometime growing up, I will not like being home at all. Because moms will be fighting. And when you see both mom fighting, you, the kids, are going to step back and, you know, look at your mom without really thinking. You will stand on her side without any discernment. Passion will take you. I won't like to be home because sometimes dad will be fighting with one of the moms. You can be right in your table eating, and then for nothing, they will start fighting. It is hard. It is really, really hard and difficult. And even up till now, we have many issues to sort out. And it's not easy, like a cake. It's not easy to be in such context. But you know what? God is using it to bring salvation in the lives of many in my family. He's using it. He's using the chaos to bring life, salvation in the lives of some of us. My dad told me one day, because I gave him a Bible one day. I gave him a Bible. I said, "Dad, that's the best thing I want to give you. Can you read it?" He took the Bible, and after a few months, he called me and said, "Macklin, I read the whole Bible. I read it." Look around in the church. How many brothers and sisters can say they have read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? How many? Despite the context of my dad, I think at one point he understood that he needed God. He needed Jesus. He needed his life to be turned to God. And I am 100% sure. He is now 77. He had his birthday a few days ago, 77. I am 100% sure if he dies, he will be in the hands of God. How can God do that with 2, 3, 4, 5 wives? This is probably something close to what was happening in Boaz's life. Some people will argue that for a man from Bethlehem, it was not okay to marry a woman from Moab. Yeah, I will stand for that. It's not okay to go and marry. No, when I call Muslims, I call them, I have a name in my context. So I don't want to just shout, "Hey, Muslim. It's not okay to go and marry somebody who doesn't believe in Jesus. It's not okay. It's not. You're dating somebody who is not from the faith that you confess. I want to ask you to come and see an elder and break that relation now. Break it. I'm going to stand for that." The Moabites were a tribe descended from Moab, the son of Lot, born of an incestuous relationship. You know that? With his oldest daughter when he got drunk. You can see the story in Genesis 19, verse 37. Also, they are pagan people. They are pagan. And why will he agree to redeem her? Think about it. There are many reasons for Boaz to step out of this craziness. And how will he agree to redeem her? I read, I'm searching, I want to understand, and I came to this conclusion. God, I believe, was at work in the life of Boaz for a purpose. God was at work in the life of Boaz for a purpose. This man was rich and yet very humble man. He can sit, eat, and rest with everybody. You know, back home when you have money, you don't sit with everybody, man. When you have money, no, people will not approach you. Even to see you, it's going to be difficult, you know. Kevin, you saw that. Before you see somebody who has money, has power, you can't just walk in his house. And this man, rich, was humble. And he can sit and eat and rest with everybody. He welcomes everybody. Even strangers. Who is this man? He is a blessed man. And he became a blessing for many other people, even from other tribes like Moabites. Why I believe God was doing something great in the life of this man. He did not plan to redeem Ruth. He did not plan it. He did not plan to redeem her. He was old. And maybe he has other wives. In tribes where this practice is still going on, you know, we have some tribes who are doing it back home. Right after the death of the brother, the battle will start. If the widow is young and beautiful, the battle is going to start. And this man didn't do that. He did not. And if the Redeemer has money, that's easy. This man has money. He has wealth. He can just seek her and redeem her. Boaz was sleeping. When Ruth came to uncover his feet, you read that? He was sleeping. When she came and uncovered his feet, this is a sign of the culture. To ask for the man to redeem you. When they talk about redemption, it takes everything. The next chapter, you want to see it. It's about the field that she will sell, and somebody got to pay for it. When you buy the field, you will also take the wife. So, Boaz didn't go after it. He was sleeping. And Ruth came to uncover his feet. Also, he did not use his power and money to redeem her right away. You know, she's young. She's probably beautiful. And when this process started, he did not manipulate. You know, we are good doing that. To manipulate other people for something that we want. He made sure that no mistake will occur in the process. When the process started, he made sure that no mistake will occur. It was also not about sex. You gotta hear me well. Because that night, something could have happened. She came in the night and uncover his feet. It's not about sex. You know, waking up in the middle of the night and seeing a young woman at your feet, what will you do, brother? What will you do? Ruth, in one sense, was at the wrong place at the wrong time. It was night. Nighttime. Look what Boaz did. Amazing. May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. The first thing he did is to bless her. May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. He blessed her and he did not abuse her. He did not touch her. He said, I will redeem you. But I want to make sure that the process is right. This is the love. This is love. This is love. Loving somebody. Not because you want to take something from them. This is a picture of God's love and protection in our life. We do not deserve it. We are unlikely to be loved. She did not deserve this kind of love. Finally, what is happening in the life of Ruth? Ruth, as I said, is from a different tribe, different nation. She is poor. She is a widow. She must be struggling with the loss of her husband. She is in a very vulnerable place. She is pagan, lost in her sins. But she has one thing. She got one thing, I believe. Faith in the God of Naomi. A God that she is going to discover. She got faith in this God. In the God of her mother-in-law. She said, your God is going to be my God. And your people shall be my people. This is what she got. Faith. And the God of her mother-in-law. She did not also plan this scenario. Hear me well. She did not plan this. God is at work. God is at work in your life. You won't know it maybe. But God is at work to have you in this room right now. God is at work in your life. She did not plan this entire scenario. It just happened. She was passively and actively entering in a covenantal relationship with God and his people. It was passive because she didn't plan it, but active because she listened and she obeyed. In the very place of despair, trouble, uncertainty, poverty, and loneliness, she's going to find rest and peace. She found her Redeemer. She can smile again. She get her life back. She's going to get it back. She's restored at a higher place. She's redeemed. Hallelujah. Why? Something unspeakable was going on in her life. More than that, she's going to be used by God to become Jesus Christ's ancestor. Do you know that? She's going to be used by God to become our Lord, our Savior, ancestor. If you read the Gospels, you're going to see it. Ruth and Boaz. Son was obeyed, father of Jesse and grandfather of David. Boaz is mentioned in both the gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke as ancestor of Jesus. How in the world? Who? The Moabite. The lonely. The pagan woman who has faith in the God of her mother-in-law. Who can do this? Who can maneuver all this? To use somebody like Ruth to be part of the story of salvation in Christ. Who can do this? I think only God can do it. Only Him. Only God can do this. You may be facing something, and I want to tell you the good news. Only God can take you out from that situation. Only God can make a way. Only God can bring you back your life. Only God can save you. For us, for you today, we have the Redeemer. Not sure where you are in life today. Please come at the feet of the Redeemer. She went and slept at the feet of Boaz. Come today. Come at the feet of the Redeemer. He has the power to redeem you. Come to Jesus. Come as you are. He has the power to redeem you, to take you to Himself, to marry you in one sense. He has the power to love you despite who you are. And He has the power to save you. If you never experience this real peace in your heart, if you never experience the forgiveness of your sins, if you never experience the joy that comes from heaven, if you never experience the liberty, the freedom in your life, I want to ask you today to come at the feet of your Savior. Come at the feet of Jesus. He will not get rest. This is what she said. This is what the mother-in-law said. He will not get rest until He finishes the good works. I'm adding, the good works He started in us. In you. Naomi said, wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out. For the man will not rest. Will not rest. God is not going to rest. You hear me? God is not going to rest. God is not going to rest. But He will settle the matter today. God is not going to rest till He settles your matter. God is not going to let you go till He finishes the work He started in your life. Indeed, He will never let you go empty-handed. He is not going to let you go. He is going to settle the matter. My sister, my brother, it is maybe your day. Hear me well. It's maybe your day. God is calling you like never before. I'm talking to somebody. God is calling you today to His table. He's calling you by your name like never before, and you are hearing it so deeper. I want you to hear. Come. Come to Jesus. I surrender unto Jesus. Come. Surrender everything. He's calling you to this table to eat and to drink. Come as you are. For French people, you know the song. Tel que je suis sans rien à moi, sinon ton sang versé pour moi. Vous connaissez le chant, n'est-ce pas? Jésus nous appelle. Jésus nous interpelle. Il t'invite tel que tu es. Tu n'as pas besoin d'apporter quoi que ce soit. La foi de Ruth était déterminante ici. Elle avait tout perdu. Elle a tout perdu. Mais parce qu'elle a dit, ton Dieu sera mon Dieu, ton peuple sera mon peuple. Dieu a tout utilisé pour sa rédemption. Viens à Jésus tel que tu es. Viens à Jésus. As we celebrate Thanksgiving today, or this week, I mean, let us be reminded that Jesus is our Redeemer. He bought us with a great price. He paid it all. Come to Jesus. Amen.